You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's daf in the Masechet Chulin is Daf Tzadi Dalet, and we're holding at the Hilchot Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beit. Shaleach Adam Yerech Lo'ovid Kochavim Shegid Anashe Betolcha Mipnei Shemkomo Tamika. It is all right to send an entire Phi section without taking out the Gid Anashe to a goy, and there's no problem of being worried about maybe he will resell it to a Jew who will then eat it with the gid, because since it's whole, mekomo nikar, it's very clear to someone who is going to get it, who is going to purchase it, that the gid wasn't removed. Now, obviously, I mean, what's to prevent the guy from cutting it up into steaks and selling it like that? Then it won't be. That Gemara will discuss all of this. Says the Gemara, I don't get the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're allowed to send a yerech, meaning the entire yerech, but that implies that you would not be able to sell a steak from the area of the yerech, right? You can't just give him a piece of meat. So I want to understand what the situation is here. B'mayaskinan. We have two basic situations about dealing with goyim when it comes to meat. There are areas where the butchers are Jewish, and if they have a treifa, they will sell it to a goy. Now, in locations like that, they might have a mechanism whereby they let other people know that there is a non-kosher animal being sold today, and then people will be careful on that day not to purchase it anywhere but from a kosher store that's going to tell them which meat is kosher and won't buy it from a goy. But on other days where there is no such announcement, it would be okay to buy from a goy because all the meat in town is kosher anyway. But there are locations where they do not make such an announcement. In such a town, you never would buy from a goy because there's no way ever to know that you're going to be buying kosher meat from them. Because even if there was non-kosher meat that had been sold to a goy, there would not be any notice posted about it. And you can understand the social pressures about these things. So then it wouldn't be feasible to ever buy from a goy meat. Okay, so now I'd like to know which of these locations are we talking about. B'mayaskina. Is the Mishnah referring to a town, Ilema b'mokom she'in machrizim, where they do not have a way of notifying people that there is basar treifa that had been sold today to goyim? So then what's the difference what you send to the goy? Even if you would send him perfectly packaged steaks, nobody would buy it from him. And therefore, why would the Mishnah say, only if it's whole? Why only if it's whole? Chatucha nami lishter le. Send him whatever the heck you want, because la'ala atul mizban. Nay, nobody's going to buy from him, because in this town, nobody ever buys meat from a goy. So what's the difference whether the meat you give him had the gid anasha in it, did not have the gid anasha in it? Nobody's going to be coming to eat it. Hello, you have to learn that the Mishnah is referring to what? A makom that they are machrizin, right? And in that town, you're allowed, unless it's a day where they make this announcement, unless it's that day, you're allowed to buy meat from a goy. Okay. So then I don't understand what the Mishnah says. Then you could send him an entire thigh. Why? Because anybody who buys it is going to see that the Gid Anashe was never removed. Well, what in the world is to prevent the goy from cutting up the thigh and packaging it? And then the Jew will think, okay, it's a regular day. Nobody sells non-kosher meat to goyim, so I'm allowed to eat this. So then what's the difference whether it's whole or not? I mean, it only takes 10 minutes to turn the whole into a piece. So Shulema Namila Vishterle, you should not be allowed to send him unless you took out the Gid Anashe, because there's nothing to prevent the goy from cutting it and putting it into a nice package with plastic on it, and it all looks perfectly okay, like a regular Muncie action. Answers the Gemara, well, there's both possibilities, you know. It could be talking about a makom shemachrizin. It could be talking about a makom she'en machrizin. And we can make it work. Here's the deal. You want to say it's talking about ibay temba makom shemachrizin. Let's say it's talking about a place where people are allowed to buy from goyim. The reason why you're allowed to sell them whole but not partial is because even if the goy would cut it up into steaks, he would not cut it up in a way that anybody could possibly mistake for a treybird, for a mnukar thigh. Because the goy will always do the normal thing that a butcher does with a thigh, which is you would cut it along the wide sides. You have a nice looking steak-like thing with the fats inside or the ginanasha inside, like a rib steak it would look like. But a Jew would never cut it like that because the butcher already has to cut the meat long the distance of the from the thigh down in order to get out the ginanasha. He can no longer cut it in that way. So he's going to cut it in the opposite direction. She's usually coming in. The goy is not going to do that. And therefore, everybody knows that this is not the way that they would have gotten it in the butcher shop. Or you could say it's talking about a makom shein machrizin. And indeed, you're right. Why is there a problem? Nobody, since it's a place that has no posting system for non-kosher meat, people will never buy from a goy. The problem over here is that we make a gezeira. Because if you're going to give him a gift, and it's not going to be noticeable, and it's going to be just like a wrapped steak, then what if somebody sees you give it? See, if you give him the whole thigh, so that's quite clear right there, that's a piece of non-trabered meat. So, but if we're talking about that you're giving it to him, maybe you'll give it in front of somebody else who will see. So, gzera shabi yitendel b'fnei Yisrael acher. And this guy will think, okay, you certainly didn't have non-kosher meat in your house. I saw you give it to him, you know, he wanted to give it to me as a good deal. I'll buy it from him because I know where it came from. So, therefore, I would have to be gozer, because since I know that this guy has kosher meat, and I see him giving kosher meat to the goy, it doesn't occur to me, unless I see the whole thigh, that it actually is not suitable for me to eat. Or, you know what? There could be an entirely different issue involved here that has nothing to do with kashrut. It has to do with the fact that if you send this to a goy, he is going to think that you like him. You're giving him like a really nice gift. And that is prohibited. Because he's going to feel that he owes you one, even though he doesn't. You gave him something that you wouldn't eat. So you can't send it to him in a way that he could think that you would eat it. He's got to know. It's not because of somebody else who got it. He's got to know the truth. Because if he doesn't know the truth, you're stealing his emotions. That's called gnevat daat. When people believe that they owe you something that they don't owe you, that is basically stealing. Yeah, amazing. They have to be very careful about this. So, you'll say, but he's not Jewish. It doesn't make any difference. You cannot have people believe that they owe you something. Doesn't matter whether he's Jewish or not. That is a terrible manipulation of emotions that you get to keep, and that it basically forces people to look at you in a different way, and that you're not allowed to do. Now, the fact is, Shmuel didn't actually say those words, but it was very clear from Shmuel's behavior that he might as well have said those words. How did Shmuel lab v'feirush itmar? He didn't say those words precisely. Elamichlala itmar. It comes out of his behavior. What happened once was that Shmuel was taking a ferry ride together with his valet. So he tells the guy that is being mishamish him, Amar le'lashamei, take care of the ferry driver. Paisei le'mavure, give the guy something, make him feel good. Paisei, so he did, and Shmuel was angry. Ve'ikpid. So, my time ikpid, why was he angry? Abaye said, well, what happened was that he had a non-kosher chicken, Tarnagola Trefa Havoi, and this guy gave it to him. And the guy, who was the driver, thought that he gave him a kosher chicken. And he gives it to him as if it was shefted. Now, even though this might be a monetary difference, as a marshal point, obviously, he didn't use it to steal money from him. He just gave it, you know, would be the same price. But the guy thought he was getting something really nice. Rabbi said Shmuel told his shama to go and to give the guy a drink of anpaka. Anpaka is very high quality, undiluted wine. So anpaka marle lashkuye. And instead, the guy gives him wine that he had mixed with water. Vashke chamra mezika. And that's not nice. I understand. So v'chimich lo lamai. So you're telling me it's very important that I should know that Shmuel never said those words. I mean, he might as well have said those words. I mean, why do we have to quote him precisely? What other explanation is there? No, because there is another explanation. And the fact is, I mean, we could be making a mistake. Because, let's say, according to Abaye, who said that the issue was that it was a bird that was trefa, maybe the reason he was angry wasn't because of the fact that he had misrepresented things, but it was because he was essentially telling him, Amar le amaiti shayisura, what were you doing keeping a trefa bird around? How did you know somebody wouldn't get confused with that chicken and use it for a kosher chicken? And according to him, on the Omar, Rava, who said that he had told him to give him anpaka, and maybe it's not because of misrepresentation, it's because of not following orders. The word anpaka always means chaya mashma, means fresh wine, unmixed wine, and that you didn't listen to what I told you to do. Don't go making the call on me about what I want to give the guy. I told you, I want to give him a good drink. So you can't absolutely conclude from here that Shmuel really owes us a lignum das abrius of Shulamit. Tanya, Hayar Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say various halachot about this. For instance, don't invite somebody when you know he's not going to show up. So Ayasar Hev Adam L'chaver Olis Odetzlo. But he knows, I don't have to worry about inviting him, he'll never show.
That's the reason they would invite him?
The only reason you would invite him.
Yeah, so I know he's not going to come.
Exactly. Don't do that.
Off the hook.
Or don't, like, offer him these big gifts, and you know he's never going to accept it. And lo yarvelo betakrovet v'yodeh ashen v'kabel. A guy comes into the house, he says, oh my gosh, what a pleasure to see you take your sword in here. Boom, you open up an entire barrel of wine. It's out. $500 worth of wine, was it going to go bad? Well, actually, you'd already made a deal with a chenveni that he's going to take this wine and sell it for you. You know, but the guy doesn't know this, so it looks like, you know, you're... Don't do that. Lo yiftach lo chovuyot ha-michorot l'chenveni. Unless you say so. I mean, you could tell him in advance, look, I don't want you to think I'm, you know, I'm spending all this money on you. Elin kena hodiyo. Don't tell him, oh, would you like some oil? Lo yomelo soch shemen bipachrei kan, where there's really no oil in there, but you know he's not gonna look. No, thank you. I don't need your oil to rub on me. But im bishvil kvodo, in all of these cases where it's done in public, in order that people should see how fresh of this guy is, and that's your sole intent, then it's mutter. Wait a minute. Is any of this true?
Even if we know he's not going to take it or he's not going to come.
Yeah, because other people at least say, oh, look how much kavod this guy deserves. Va'ula ikla lavei Rav Yehuda. Didn't Ula once come to Rav Yehuda's house and he smashed open these barrels that he had sold to Chedveni? Well, yeah, but I mean, he must have told him, you know. You know what? Maybe he didn't tell him. But that case is different because Ula was so chashiv to Rav Yehuda, chaviv le Rav Yehuda, he would have opened those barrels anyway. It was irrelevant that he had sold them. So what does he have to tell him? Oh, you should know they were sold. I would have opened it no matter what. So why tell him that? The Balavach, he's so chaviv le Rav Yehuda, Balavach inami patiach miftachat le. He would have opened those up with pleasure, even if they hadn't been on a deal of consignment to a chembeli. Don't know about it. Under the general rubric of Genevat. So it's called Genevat Dat. By the way, people misunderstand this. They think Genevat Dat has something to do with Sheker. Nothing to do with Sheker. It has to do with Geneva. That's why kids will say, you know, if you cheat on a test, it's Geneva's Das. It has nothing to do with Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das is where somebody feels that they owe you something that they don't owe. So then you're stealing that connection. That's what Das means, connection. People misunderstand it because they don't understand what Das means. They think you're misrepresenting something. So it's a Didim Shikarim, which is not the issue at all. It's amazing once you recognize what the word means, once you see what the sugya is doing. Now that's the point. He feels he owes you his das. That's the Geneva's das. Tan Rabbanan, lo yelech adam lebeit ha'avel, uviyado lagina hamitkashkesh. Don't go into the house of Avel. They used to have a minhag that the various people that come in, some people still have this minhag, bring things to eat and to drink. So you walk in and you've got this bottle that makes a lot of noise, but there's almost nothing in it. You know, so it looks like you're bringing a whole bottle of Glenmorangie, you know, but Dragonmore. And there's not much there. The loyim alenu mayim, for sure don't fill it up with water. You know, mibnei mitael. You're now thinking, making him think that you're being mechaben him. But again, im yesham chaver ir mutar. If this is being done in order to move the people in the town to recognize how important this guy is, then the idea is not to take something from him, but to give him something. So that's a fair exchange. Tana Rabbana, lo yimkor adam lechaveru sandal shel meta bichlal shel chayat shchuta mipnei shnei dvarim. Don't sell somebody. Now, obviously, you're giving him a good deal. You see, because otherwise it would be straight out Geneva. A dead animal is not as valuable as a chaya that you shechted and that's got like really high quality skin. Obviously, if the thing is drop dead, you know, that's not what people want. You need to collect novellas, you know. So even though you're giving him the cheaper price, but he thinks he's getting a cheaper price for a better shoe. And there's two problems with this. First of all, again, it's going to be Genevas Das. You're being mat'eh him to thinking that he got a deal. But furthermore, it's a sakana. There's lots of people who would not use that kind of thing. Because why did this animal drop dead? Or maybe it was poisoned. Right? Who knows if that isn't going to exude over time into my skin that's in contact with this sandal. So that you can't sell him. Furthermore, lo yishager adam l'chavero chavit shel yayin. Don't send a guy a barrel of wine. V'shemen saf al pia, and it's got oil on the top of it, making him think that, ah, wow, I got lots of oil. And as a matter of fact, this is even dangerous, because there was a ma'aseh b'echad shiker l'chavero chavit shel yayin. Once a guy sent a barrel like that to a friend, shemen saf al pia, he assumed it was a barrel of oil, which, wow, he couldn't afford for the life of him. And he invites, like, all of his friends over for, like, a big meal. We're going to have salad and oil and, you know. And everybody comes in, and he comes to take the oil, and he finds that is wine. He went and he hanged himself. That's what he couldn't show his face in town. He's going to come out, and he's going to say,
must have really liked that oil. Himself because it was wine and not oil?
Yeah, the oil was the food. That's what they ate. He didn't have anything to feed these people. He invited everybody to his house.
And he couldn't give more wine, get drunk.
tell them before. We have cocktails before. And there's a very important din that is related to this about guests. Guests cannot take their food and share it with the family of the Balabayit. Elim ken natlu reshut mi Balabayit, they have to ask permission from the Balabayit. There was once a story of a guy who had invited three orchim during very, very drought-ridden years where nobody had what to eat. And all he owned were three eggs. So lo hayah laniach lifnehem, he had nothing to feed these people. Ella, the shalosh beitzim, not kishalosh, shalosh beitzim. So the kid comes, and he's hungry, so he's looking at the egg. So one of them gives him the egg. The second one gives him the egg. The third one gives him the egg. Father comes in, he sees his spoiled kid, who's got one egg in his mouth, and two eggs in each hand, and he gives him a slap, which the kid dies from. The mother sees that he murdered her son, goes up to the roof, jumps off, and commits suicide. He sees that he just destroyed his whole family. He goes up to the roof and jumps and commits suicide. So, kivin shiratayimo talagag min aflava meita. Afu al alagag min aflava meit. And Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because of these idiotic orchim, that they can't stick to the advice that Chazal gave them. So, al davar zeh nehargu shalosh nefashot mi Yisrael. Yeah, I mean, I can count. What do I need him for? No, we bring this piece, Micah Mashwan, to Kula Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. We want to know that this whole ma'amar of being careful what to do is coming from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Tana Rabbana, HaShaleach Yorech L'Chaveiro. So now getting back to the sugya that the Mishnah opened. Somebody sends a thigh to his friend. So if the thigh is whole, then the friend immediately sees that the Gid HaNasha wasn't taken out of it, and he'll do it himself. And Atzurich, she told him in a Gid HaNasha. If, however, it's cut, there were Chayshish that he won't notice, and Tzurich, we told him in a Gid HaNasha. If it's a question of sending it to an Oved Kochavim, the Oved Kochavim, Bein Chatucha, Bein Shlema, ain't Tzurich, we told him in a Gid HaNasha. So there's no need, and we're obviously going to have to analyze what the case is, which we'll do in a minute. You do not have to take out the Gid HaNasheh. Umipnei shnei dvarim, there's two basic reasons that we say that you do not sell nevelot v'trefot to a goy who comes into your butcher shop without telling him. First of all, if you don't tell him, then if you're giving him the correct price, he thinks he's getting a good price. In reality, he's getting the normal price for nevelos v'trefos. So, echad mitnei mitayim. And the other problem is, the echad, shema yachzor v'yimkaren al Yisrael acher. How do we know that he won't sell it to somebody else? Now, this, of course, is a direct contradiction to the Reisha. Reisha said that you can send a gid hanosha to an Oved Kerchavim, and there's no problem, right? Obviously, people are not buying from the Oved Kerchavim. Okay, the Gemara's going to ask this. What's going on over here? Furthermore, do not send a goy to the butcher store for you. Lo yomar adam lovit kochavim, kach li bediner zebasar, give him money to buy meat for you, for two reasons. First of all, b'nishnei dvorim, echem mipnei ha'anasim. Look, you know, you send a goy to that poor butcher, and what if the goy says to the butcher, grabs him by the neck and says, I'm taking that, keeps the money for himself. So first of all, Anasi, you don't know if he's going to pay him. The Echad, and furthermore, the butcher, who knows that this is a goy, he doesn't know it's being bought for you, so he may sell him Nevelat V'Trefot, which is, again, a contradiction to the middle part. Now, because, obviously, there are Nevelat V'Trefot, so let's figure out what's going on over here. Omama, take the ratio, okay? Bodeko Chavim, Bein Shlema, Bein Chatucha, there's no problem. You do not need to take out the Gid HaNasheh. All right, now, let's figure out what we're talking about, okay? Is it a case? But my asking, what's the case? Ilema b'makom shemachrizin. If it's a place where they have a way for people to find out that there's trefot on a particular day, then people do buy from goyim on a day where there's no such announcement. I don't understand what that means. So then, how could you sell the Gid HaNasheh? You have peace with the Gid HaNasheh. We have three cases. Let's concentrate on the three cases. Case number one is, you're allowed to give a goy, sell a goy, whether it's a cut-up piece or whether it's a whole thigh, a Gid HaNasheh. Now, obviously, that means that people are not going to buy anything from goyim in this town. We'll go through it.
I think so.
Okay. The second piece, that's what we're calling the middle piece, is that we said, b'pnei shnei dvarim, you're not allowed to sell nevelot v'trefot to a goy. Maybe he'll sell it to a Jew. But that obviously means that in this town, Jews do buy from goyim. Okay, so then that's a problem, because it can't be talking about the same town. How do we have two cases that are not talking about the same town? Then we have a third case. The third case is, lo yomar adam lo vikur chavim, don't let a goy go buy meat for you. Because if he does, then the butcher may sell him non-kosher meat, thinking that it's for him. Okay, now let's go through the cases. Case number one, Amama, Boveko Chavim, Bein Shleima, Bein Chatucha. You just said there's no problem. You could sell him any type of Ginanasha that you want, right? That's what you said. That's the case. B'mayaskina. If it's a place where they are Machris, so then how can you sell it to him? If it's a place where there's a notification system in place, then that means that people buy from Goyim. Chatucha, you should have to take out the Giran Asher, because if you sell him the Chatucha, oh boy, then that's a problem. So, people will buy, because there was no Achroz on that day. Kiva de l'Achroz, Ata l'Mizva Mina. So that's not a possible case. Elopshita, what is the case? It's a case where there is no mechanism in place for letting people know when they can buy Goyim and when they can't. So it's a Mokum She'in Machrizim. Since no one buys from a goy anyway, so what's the difference what you sell? Okay, that makes a lot of sense. The problem is, look at case number two, the middle case. The middle case says there's two reasons. One reason is because he thinks he's getting a good deal. The other reason is, because maybe he'll sell it to a Jew. I thought you just said it's a town that doesn't have any mechanism in place, and therefore no Jew's going to buy from him. So you're contradicting yourself. So it's got to be talking about, if it's a Makum She'ein Machriz, who's going to buy? El Apshita. So now the middle case has got to be a case where they are Machriz, and therefore people will buy from him. And obviously it's talking about where there was no Hakraza for whatever reason. The announcement system went off today. They lost electricity, whatever the case is. And therefore, we're telling you, if there was no Hakraza, so then obviously you can't sell Nevela V'Trefa. Fine. I mean, it's a stira. Now let's take a look at the next case. You're going to see that the next case, we got to switch back to the other location, which is insane. Ema Seifen. Let's take a look at the next case. Don't tell a guy to go buy you meat and give him money, right? One, because he may keep the money and steal the meat. Two, because the butcher may sell him the veil as betrayfus. Now, you just said it's a town where they're machris. If it's a town where they're machris, you would know that they're in the veil as betrayfus, for God's sake. So why can't you rely on the fact that there's no veil as betrayfus? So send the goy, in the same way that you're allowed to buy meat from the goy, you're allowed to buy meat from the butcher who's selling to the guy. I mean, so what are you talking about? Well, it's got to be that it's talking about a town where there is no mechanism for Achrazah. Now, did this make sense to you? The Reisha and the Seifa have to be talking about a town where they're not Machris, and the middle case is talking about in a town where they are Machris, and we put these three cases together, even though they're talking about different location. I think that's crazy. Rabbi, well, it may be crazy, but there's no other explanation. In Reisha v'Seifa, b'makom she'ein machriz, you got a better answer? Reisha v'Seifa's got to be talking about a makom she'ein machriz. The mitziyata has to be talking about a makom that they are machriz. Rava says, why? Why? Maybe it's all talking about a town where they are machriz. Okay? The Reisha and the Seifa is talking about where they are machriz and they were now Machriz. So, obviously in the Reisha, if they were Machriz, nobody's going to buy from a Jew, from a Goy. Therefore, Jew can sell to the Goy with the Gidon Ashen. It doesn't matter whether it looks like a perfectly kosher piece of meat or not. Nobody's going to be buying it from the Goy. Okay? In the Seifa, obviously you don't want that Goy going to buy meat, because since you know that today there is an announcement that there are treifas available, you're going to have to assume that the goy, when he walks into the butcher shop, the butcher is going to sell him traitors. Okay? So that explains. The middle case, we said anyway, it's got to be talking about there was a breakdown in the system. So the middle case is where they were not machris. And if they were not machris, then don't sell them the villas or trefas because people may buy it. So you don't have to change the location. It would be sufficient just to change the situation. Were they or were they not machris on this particular day? That's what I think makes a lot more sense than switching locales all in the same three lists of cases in the right. Ravashi says we could do it the other way. We could say all three cases are talking about a makom where they are not machris. So if they're not machris, everything works except the middle case. The first case works. You could sell a guy anything you like as nobody's going to buy it from him. The last case works because since you have no way of knowing there are nevelas or trefas in town, don't let a guy buy meat for you because maybe he'll buy nevelas or trefas because the butcher knows he's not Jewish. Okay, the problem is the middle case. In the middle case, if nobody's going to be buying from the guy, so then why can't you sell the guy nevelas for trefas? Oh, that, says Ravashi, is because of a different problem. Gezera Shema Yimkarena Bifnei Yisrael. We're afraid in this case that he's going to be selling it in front of another Jew, and the guy who's buying didn't hear personally that it's a trefa, and he just makes an assumption that it's kosher, as opposed to the case of Sholeach that we had before in the Mishnah. Okay, Sholeach Yerek Lovikovit. So what's the problem over there? Over there, we don't have an issue like we said in the Mishnah. Maybe someone will see that he gives it to the guy. We don't have that problem. Because the Braita holds that the only case where we have a problem of making a mistake is where it's in public. If it's a butcher shop, everybody's in the butcher shop, they watch the butcher selling this meat to the guy. So then there's a good chance that one of the customers will come along and say, you know, I really wanted a piece of brisket. There's no more brisket. Can I buy that off you? But to be cheshish, that stam you in private or you in the street even, where just the guy who saw you give him this piece with the gidonosh in it, that one guy is the guy that's going to come and going to buy it. I don't have to worry about that. That this is what the Braita holds. Now, the Mishnah obviously argues and holds, like we said before, Gzera Shema Yitznena Lo Fine. But that could be that's the Mishnah that's been chelik on the Braita. So that's not a problem for us. Mamela, we could say that all three cases are cases of non-hachrat, a place where they're not machris. Since they're not machris, normally you wouldn't buy. Heichi machrisi. How do you do the hachraza? I mean, what are you going to say? You're going to say, we've got the velas for sale. I mean, you can't do that. So, hechim achrizim. Omer Vizabai Yosef, you put up a sign, lots of food available for the troops. Nafa bisrael of nechela. They used to have to barrack the troops in town. The Jews would have to pay for the meat. So, when you say there's lots of food for the troops, okay. Can't you just say there's lots of trefas for the mecha? No, because they're not going to buy. But so then you're fooling them. I thought the whole sugya we've been saying all along is you're not allowed to fool someone. And if you write there's lots of food, aren't they going to think that it's kosher food? Don't you have to tell them it's not kosher food? No. Why? Because inu huda kamatu anafshayu. If somebody wants to fool himself, he likes to fool himself. So that's his business. That's not my business. If I'm going out of my way to fool somebody, fine, that's Gnevas Das. If I never said anything that indicated to you that I'm going to be selling goyim kosher meat, there is absolutely no reason why you should so assume. And that's your problem. And we actually know that this is the din. Because there was once a case where Marzurja Beredu of Nachman was walking from Sichra to Beimachuza. It happened to be that Rava and Rav Safra were walking on the same day from Sichra and to Sichra from Mechuza. And there they meet along the road. Marzutra, of course, assumes that they're coming to greet him. They had no intention of going to greet him. They happened to be going in the opposite direction. And they meet Marzutra. So who saw Barlape Udekato? He assumed that they were coming out to greet him. So he says to them, you shouldn't have come all this way just to greet me. Lama l'rabbanan l'truche v'otukulei, hi, why'd you have to come this way? So Rav Safra says, well, I got to be honest, we didn't know that you were coming. I mean, of course, if we had known, we would have come much further to greet you. But we didn't know. Had we known you were coming, we would have baked you a cake. So Amar lei Rav Safra, nalo aviyadina dekatimar, I aviyadina tvei avitachin. Well, you think we just would have come? We would have come with a symphony orchestra. So afterwards, Rava says, what the heck? Well, you had to tell him that and make him feel embarrassed. Well, it's a very embarrassing thing to tell a guy who says, thank you for coming all the way. You needn't have bothered. Oh, actually, we didn't bother. Ugh. It's ridiculous. So you told him that. Achlish de la daita. You made him feel like, ugh. Oh, my lady, but what do you mean? Said, I mean, I had no choice because we were fooling him. The Komatina knew. He's going to now think that we were so good to him. Says Rava, did we do anything? He wants to believe that that's his business. He's fooling himself, but we have to disabuse him. He's abusing himself. I don't have to tell him otherwise. You want to be fooling yourself in what you'd like to believe, go right ahead and believe whatever you want to believe. It's not my need to disabuse others. There was a tabach that says to his friend, you know, I taught you a lesson, buddy. You know, you don't know how to treat me properly. If we would still be friends, Ivave Piasta, you know, I could have given you a piece yesterday. I had a shor shel patan. I haven't had a shor like that. We had a barbecue. I would have invited you. I would have sold you. Too bad. Omalei. I had better than that from your shor. Achlimi Shufri should have had the best part of that shor. What? How'd you get that? Ah, because a certain guy that you had sold to sold it to me. Oh, that was the other one I had that was a trefa, which I had sold to the guy. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, the tray of the Bahu trefa havi. That was the treif one. Sure, it tasted better. So Omar Rebbe, so what do we do now? I mean, here we got a situation. One of the butcher shops claims that they've been selling treif for meat. There was no achraza, and this was a location where there used to be, you know, the Hebrew National hot dog sellers were going all around to the baseball games, you know, and they were allowed to do that because there were only kosher butchers in town, and they would sell to the makulin, which were the local sellers, with the little, you know, the little wagon that they would go from place to place. So now, maybe we should ask for the whole town. Because here, this is a butcher who we overhear claiming that he sold non-kosher meats, and now there's non-kosher meat in town. So Rebbe said, what, because of this idiot? This guy is a no-goodnik, and he sold trefa, and because of that, look what happened. So we should aser all of the meat in town that's being sold by these makolin. This is a town where almost all the meat is Jewish meat, it's kosher meat. We're not going to aser it. This is Rebbe Lataimi, this is Rebbe Lashitato. Rebbe says, in a town where you have makolin, and you have Tabachei Yisrael, they deal with the Shkita, and they sell to the makolin, if basar is found in the hands of a goy, it's okay to buy it. Because rov of the meat is kosher. So what do you need? Extra. I mean, you go according to the rov. Ikeri, but others say what Rebbe said. In those days, they believed in the halacha. So Rebbe said, mipnei shoteze, because of this idiot who obviously was lying. He just wants to make the other guy vomit. So the chavin letzure, the chavre, all he wants is for the other guy to believe. Yeah, you believe it, right? He had two shor shel patams on the same day. One of them was a treifa. Come off it. So because of that, Anu Nesor Kolam Akolin. So because of that, we should ask for all of the meat in town. Why should we do that? Ah, but this is a problem. In other words, the only reason that Rebbe is saying we don't have to ask for the meat in town is Taima di Kavin Letzure Lechavre. It's because we're assuming he was lying. But suppose he wasn't lying. Halava, he would have been answered. Why? I thought in the Braita Rebbe says, this Lashon, the Raya that we had becomes a Kasha. I thought Rebbe said in a town with Makolim, where you have Tabachei Israel, any meat that Goyim sell is kosher. Yeah, but that's different. That's because you're relying on the Rove, where we have no reason to think that there's no kosher meat in town. If you know for a fact that there was non-kosher meat in town that was sold to a goy, okay, then we're machner. So in that case, shining acha ditchazek isura. In this case, we will be more machner. This concludes our discussion of how to be noig in a town where the butchers are almost entirely Jewish, and you have non-kosher makolin, non-Jewish makolin. Can you assume that it's kosher, and the implications for your own personal sales or personal gifts to a goy in such a town, whether you're talking about Nevelis or Treifas, or whether you're talking about a Giranasha problem, where over there, of course, there might be a difference between an entire thigh, which we can see is a Giranasha, or pieces where we cannot. שולח אדם ירח לעובד כוכבים שדילן אשר בתוכם מפני שמקומו ניכר. So in other words, only שלמה, but חתוכה לא. So explain to me, what kind of town is this? But I'm asking him. אילה במקום שאין מכריזים, so חתוכה נאמין לשתלה. Nobody's going to buy anyway. אלא במקום שכן מכריזים. So then you shouldn't be able to say שלמה נאמין לשתלה, because he himself can be חתוך ליומאס ולאי. Well, he bought them a book of Shemachrizin, he bought them a book of Shemachrizin, he bought them a book of Shemachrizin, nobody is going to buy because Chituch Halavit Kechavim, Mide Yadia. He bought them a book of Shemachrizin, Yezirah Shema Yetznen Allah Bifnei Yisrael Acher. He bought them a, there's a whole other issue here. Mishum Taka Gonev Leila Daite, the Omer Shmuel, Asur Lignov Da'at HaBriyot, Afilu Da'ato Shalavit Kechavim. And a great way to remember the daf is that it's on daf tzadi dalet, which means to be tzad data. That's like Esav Harosh. The Shmuel, la beferush itmar, elami chlola itmar. The Shmuel, havika over b'mavra. Omele l'shame, okay, take care of the mabure, will ya? Paisei v'yikpid, my time yikpid. Om rabbi, atone gola treifa avoy, v'yav ani alei b'mar d'shchuto. Rav Amar Anpeka Amar Rashkei Vashkayach Amar Beziga. So what's the big problem? Because Liman Yomer Treifa Avoy. Maybe why he was angry was because he was saying Amay Tishi Yisura. Liman Yomer Anpeka Amar Rashkei. He didn't follow instructions because Anpeka is Vashbachaya. Tanya Yariv Yemir Omer Al Yisar Hev Adam Lechaveru Lisod Etzlo V'Yodei Abo She'ino So'ed. Lo yarbo lo betakrovet v'yodei abo she'enu mekabel. Yiftach lo chaviyot ha-mechurot l'chenvani ele imken hodi'o. V'lo yomar lo soch shemen mipach rekan. V'im b'shvil kvodo mutar. Eni ve'ula ikla l'vei rav yudha patach lo chaviyot ha-mechurot l'chenvani. Well, obviously, you do it all day. Or you know what? Maybe not. Mi boitem ha-shayni ula d'choviv le'il rav yudha to such an extent. The belav hachinami petuach avim avtchlei. Don rabbon, lo yelech adam lebeit ha'avel, uviyado login ha-mitkashkesh, v'lo yimaleno mayim, mibnei shemita'eyu, v'im yesham chaver ir mutar. Don rabbon, lo yimkor adam lechavero sandal shal meita, bichlal shal chaya shchuta, mibnei shnei dvorim, echad, mibnei shemita'eyu, echad, mibnei ha-sakana, v'lo yishager adam lechavero chavit shal yayin, ושמן צף על פיהם. ומעשה באחד ששיגר לחברו חבית של יין ושמן צף על פיה, והלך וזימן עליה אורחין, ונכנסו ומצא של יין חנק את עצמו. ואין אורחים רשויים ליתן ממה שלפניהם לבנו ולביתו של בעל הבית, אלא אם כן נטלו רשות מבעל הבית. ומעשה באחד ששימן שלושה אורחים בשני בצורת, והיה לו להניח לפניהם אלא שלוש ביצים. בא בנו של בעל הבית, נתן לך ממך, כל נתן לו, וכן שני וכן שלישי, בא אביו של שיקנוק, מצאו שעוזק ביצה אחת בפיו, שתיים בידו, חפתו בקרקע ומת. כמעט שראתה אמו, עלתה לגג ונפלה ומתה. אף הוא עלה לגג ונפלה ומת. אומר רבי אליעזר בן יעקב, על דבר זה נהרגו שלוש נפשות בישראל. יא, זה מייקה משמעת. תקראו רבי אליעזר בן יעקב. תודה רבנו לשלח, ירח לחברו, שלמה אינו צריך שיטול מן הגיד אנשי. חתוכה, צריך לטול מן הגיד אנשי. בעובד כוכבים, בין בחתוכה, בין שלמה אין צריך לטול מן הגיד אנשי, because nobody's going to buy. מפני שני דברים אמרויים אחרים דבלות וטריפות לעובד כוכבים, אחד מפני שמתאר ואחד שמייחזר ממקורנה, because they are going to buy. לישראל אחר. ולא יאמר אדם לעובד כוכבים כך לבדין הזה בשר, מפני שני דברים, איך מפני הנסים, ואיך את שם המוכרים לנבלות וטריפות. אוקיי, let's take this here. אבל מה, בעובד כוכבים בין שלימה בין חתוכה, אין צריך לטעול למנו מגיד הנשא. Now, what kind of town are we talking about? I mean, אילו אם המקום שבאחריזין, so חתוכה, מה אינו צריך לטעול למנו מגיד הנשא? Since there was no הכרזה, people may buy it. אתה לא מזמן מנה. אלא פשיטה במקום שאין מאחריזין, אין במציאתה. מפני שני דברים אומרים מוכרים נבלות וטריפות לעובד כוכבים, איך מפני שמתאהו ויחד שם יחזר ואם קורא לישראל אחר, והיא במקום שאין מאחריזין, הלא אותי למזמן מנה, אלא פשיטה must be a מקום where they are מאחריז. So the name is safer. לא יאמר אדם לעובד כוכבים כך לבדין הזה בשר, מפני שני דברים, איך מפני הנסים, ואיך שם מוכרים לנבלות וטריפות, but if it's a makom shemachrizin, if there would have been a treifa, achrizi avimachrizi. I'm very confused. Ela pshita's got a makom shemachrizin. You're telling me we have three cases, reisha v'seifa, are makom shemachrizin, and the mitziyata is makom, but they are machrizin. Amar Abaye, you got a better idea. In reisha v'seifa, makom shemachrizin. Mitziyata, makom shemachrizin. What can you do? Rav Amar, no. It makes more sense to say the location doesn't change. Only what happened changed. So kula b'makom shemachrizin. The reish of a sefer is talking about there was a hachraza, and the mitziyata is talking about that there was no hachraza. Rav Asher amar kula b'makom she'ein machrizin, and the only problem in the middle case is that we're afraid that it will be sold publicly. Shemei krona b'fnei Yisrael. Heichem machrizin. Om Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, you say nofa b'yisro l'fnei chela. I mean, isn't it more honest to say and also it puts people more on their toes? Well, who's going to buy it then? How's that mean? So then that's all the more reason. It's false advertising. How come ati lohu? Well, if you believe that kind of advertising, you're very dumb. So inu the kamati nafshayu. We don't have to worry about dumb people. They deserve it. Ki other marzurja v'reder of Nachman havekazam esichah levein b'chuza rabba v'rusafah v'kata l'esichah pogo adadi. So he assumes. They're so nice of you. I'm so sorry. Such a tear come. They said, well, actually, we didn't. If we would have known you were coming, we would have baked you a cake. Well, what can we do? I mean, we can't have him believe something that isn't true, can we? No way. You would have come out in Avshe. Well, if you would have been on good terms with me, then milosafi l'chamishor shal patam da'avdi etmol. Omale, I need you. Achri shufri shufri. Omale, where'd you get that? Omale, I bought it from so-and-so, the other kuchamim, and he gave me. You sold it to him. Omale, oh, that was the other one. Trey avdi, that was the treifa. Hope you enjoyed. Omar Rebbe, so Bishvil Shotez Isha, Asesh Shaloka Hogan, and selling meat, which were not announcing, Zonu Nezer Kolam HaKolin. This is Rebbe Lashitate, Yorah Makulin, Vitabachi Yisrael, Basar Nim Tzibiyad of Ekrachavim can be assumed to be kosher. Igre Ami Omar Rebbe, Bible Shotez Ze, who obviously was lying, he was only having that Surin Lechavre. We should go ahead and ask her Kolam HaKulin. Now that's strange, because it's only because times we have in the Surah Chavre. But if not for that, apparently we would have asked all the Makulin. But I thought, Hatanya Rebbe Omer, Makulin in this town, where the Tabachim are Yisrael, Bozronim to be out of Ikochavim is mutter. Now, it's different in this case because the guy is saying that he sold non-kosher meat. I mean, if you wouldn't realize that he was just faking it out, we would have had a problem. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. So we're up to the Mishnah, the Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Shuleach Adam Yerech Lovet Kochavim Shigit Hanashe Betocha Mipnei Shemekomo Nikar. We better do that again. Shuleach Adam Yerech Lovet Kochavim Shigit Hanashe Betocha Mipnei Shemekomo Nikar. It is mutter to send a complete side of an animal, or a thigh in this case, that has in it the Gid HaNashev, and there no Nikur was done, because it's quite clear that it hasn't been removed, and anybody can see that, and therefore they're not going to come to buy it from him, assuming that it's kosher. Now, obviously, this doesn't seem to make much sense. If they're going to buy from him, what's to prevent them from cutting it up and selling it at the supermarket, and how can they buy from him? So all these issues we're going to deal with in the Gemara. In any event, says the Gemara, you see from here that it's Davka Yera, in other words, Shlema. The only reason that you're allowed to send a complete thigh is because it's complete, and the Makom of the Gid is Nikar, but Chatucha lo. But if you would cut up that thigh into steaks, then you wouldn't be able to send it to him. So now, I don't understand how this works. Rabbi Askina, what's the case? If it's a place, obviously, this has got to be a town where all the meat that's sold in town is kosher. Otherwise, the whole thing is ridiculous. What kind of possible kashrus is there? Whatever it is that an Akum has, there's no way that Yisrael will ever buy from him. So therefore, we have to assume we're talking about in a town where all of the butcher shops are kosher, and therefore any meat that is found in town by Jew or non-Jew is considered to be kosher meat. However, there are places where they had a minhag that they would put up an announcement where there was a trefa that was found in the butcher and then it would be sold to goyim, that they would make an announcement that there is trefa meat in town, be careful. And then people would know, and that during the time when that, as long as that meat might still be sold, obviously without refrigeration that wouldn't be too long, then they wouldn't buy from a goy. So if that's the case, if it's a place in which they don't make such an announcement, so then you could send the goy steaks. They're also that have get an oshenat. I mean, what's the problem? Nobody's going to buy it. So chatucha nami zishdalei, because after all, lo also the mizbar minet. They're not going to come to buy it from him anyway. So you're talking about, in other words, a place where if there would have been trade for meat, there would have been a hakraza, and therefore people will buy from a goy because there was no hakraza. So now how can you send him an entire thigh assuming that, well, everybody will see this, the Gidon Asher wasn't removed, but to prevent the goy from cutting it up and wrapping it and saying near kosher steak and selling it, because people will buy anything from a goy in that town, since it's a makom that they are makris, and this wasn't a trade, for they hadn't been makris. So how could you send him even a shlema namigo to shadalei? To chotaklei, he'll obviously cut it up, and mazvilei, then sell it in his makolet. Says the Gemara, there's a number of possibilities. Iba item of a makom she makrisim, the iba item of a makom she in makrisim, looking, we can make it work out either way. I mean, iba item of a makom she makrisim, if it's a place where there is a hakraza that's made, and therefore people will buy from a goy, the reason that we're not makbid on a thigh, we would be makbid actually on other areas, because there would be no way to know if it was kosher or not, and therefore we couldn't sell or send a non-kosher piece to a goy, because of course then he would sell it. But in this case, since we're dealing with a thigh, and the thigh has the ginanosha in it, then there's no problem, because even if he cuts it and he butchers it and wraps it, it will be obvious to any buyer that it's not a piece of nikurd meat, because the goy cuts it completely differently than the Jew cuts it, because the Jew cuts it along first in order to get out the ginanosha. He cuts it along the gid to be able to remove it, which no normal butcher would do, because it messes up the filet mignon. And therefore, the buyer will immediately see, oh, wait a second here, this isn't kosher meat. And so, any buyer knows whether this was Jewishly cut meat or not, because it's a wreck of a cut. And, of course, any other meat, you couldn't be saying on this, because there's no difference between chitucha d'akom and chitucha d'Yisrael. Or we could say it's talking about a makom she'ein machris. And you said, so what's the difference? Even if you send it to him, I mean, no matter how you send it to him, if it's a makom she'ein machris, nobody's going to buy it from him, so who cares? Gizeirash, I mean, it's nenevah b'fnei Yisrael acher. We're afraid that maybe he will send it to him in front of a Jew, and then that Jew will assume, oh, apparently that was a piece of kosher meat. So if he gives it to him, therefore, as a whole thigh, then it was evident to the Yisrael that, no, this wasn't, he didn't bother doing the nikur on this meat. But if you're going to send him packaged meat, then the Yisrael will naturally assume, I saw my friend sell it to this guy, or give it to this guy, must have been kosher meat, and therefore he'll buy it from him. There's also a third approach. It's very simple. You cannot send him chatucha mishum deganev leila daite. You, in sending him chatucha, the goy will assume that you sent him meat that you would have eaten yourself. And therefore, he feels that you really like him. And if somebody feels that you really like him when you don't, then you're stealing from him, because there's an emotional debt that's incurred. And that emotional debt you have taken from him illicitly. And therefore, you can't send it to him simply because you're fooling him. You say, what's the difference? I mean, I'm giving him a gift, and who cares? It makes a tremendous difference. If you send him something that you wouldn't eat yourself, he feels one way. If you give him something that you would have eaten yourself, he feels another way. And this is based on Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Asur lignov da'at habriyot, va'afidu da'ato shalom vitko habib. You cannot fool someone. Now, Rashi learns throughout that the only Isser of Gnevat Da'at is literally Gnevat. People have the assumption, and there are many posts who make this assumption, I don't know why, that Gnevat Da'at means to fool people. There is no Isser in fooling people, according to most Rishonim. The Isser is in taking from people through fooling them. It's Gneva that's Isser. It's a non-geneva, where they're not giving you anything, they're not beholden to you in any way. It's not us. If you want to walk around and pretend that you're a knight, you're going to say, oh, it's geneva's not. People are going to think you're a knight. Who cares? Who cares what they think? If you pretend that you're a knight and they're all going to be feel that they have to be machabed you and so on and so forth, then you're taking from them something that you had no right to take. So here too, to fool somebody is not the issue, but to take from him is the issue.
Honor, it doesn't have to be money?
No, over here it's just hakaras teva. But that's a debt. In other words, the Gemara often, this is consistent, the Gemara views indebtedness as actual payment. You know, so in other words, where you're not allowed to be mahana, let's say. So it can't be mahana somebody. But if there's an indebtedness that's incurred, there's no such thing as no free lunch. Somebody's sending something, it's for a purpose. It's an advertising purpose, whatever it is. He wants to get something back from you. So if he's getting back from you, then fine. Then it's an exchange. Here too, you're taking something, getting back something, and that back is more than you gave. And therefore, it's the klal geneva. Now, the truth is, Shmuel never said those words. Shmuel never said, also, ignov data briot vafilu data akum. But Michlola Yitzna. Wasn't Beferush, but it was Michlola. In other words, we saw from an event that that's what he holds. Why? The Shmuel Kavika Avra B'Mavra, Shmuel once crossed on a ferry, and Omer Leila Shame, he tells his servant,
Paise Labavure, go take care of the ferryman. Paise Leikvi, so the guy went and took care of him, tipped him, and gave him whatever. And Shmuel was angry at him. My time Leikvi, why was he angry at him? Omer Abaye, because he gave him a Tarnagolet Trefa that he had. The Mavra, of course, was a non-Jew. And he gave it to him as if it was the Shluta. He gave it to him to Murat Shluta. Rava says that wasn't the point. It was Anpaka Amar Lelashkuye. He told him, give him a drink of single malt. And he went ahead and he gave him Meziga. And Anpaka... And he gave him. I had a funny mice on Shabbos in the tour. Somebody got an aliyah, and he said the amount. He said, "Pamayim sheva sheva." So the rav heard him say, "Pamayim sheva sheva sheva." Pamayim sheva sheva sheva. That's strange. He's going to give two bottles of Sheva, Sheva, Sheva. So over here, anyway, so he told him Anpaka, and instead he gave him Chamer Maziga. Instead he gave him mixed wine that had been mixed with water. Okay, so the Chimas Olamai, we never point out that something is not the Feirush unless there's some alternative and we didn't want to fool you. But if for all intents and purposes this was said, the Feirush, then we don't bother telling you, oh, by the way, he didn't say these actual words, but we find it through what he... I mean, there's no other way to understand what happened, is there? Why else was he angry? So if it came here, well, there certainly is an alternative. I mean, let's say, according to Mount Yomer, that the Maisa was that he gave him a trefa, he might have simply been angry that he had a trefa. He might have simply told him, Maiti Sheyisura, why don't you leave something trefa by you to use for a tefa? Somebody could have been Nirshavan. And Laman Yomer Anpaka, according to the other man, Yomer told him to give him Anpaka, which is a high quality stuff. He told him, listen, follow instructions. Anpaka, Chaya Mashma. Anpaka means strong wine, not mazug. Why don't you listen to what I tell you? But it had nothing to do with Gneva's Das. It could simply be that that wasn't the tip he wanted to give him, and he felt bad that he didn't listen to the instructions, and it wasn't a fichwado. Tanya, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir would say, a person shouldn't press on somebody to eat by him, and he knows that he's not going to. He shouldn't give him all kinds of gifts. He knows he's not going to accept the trust. And he should not open up, what they used to do in those days, if a guest would come in, and there was either there was no wine, or you wanted to impress him. But how chashav is, you took out a whole barrel of wine, and you sliced off the top. You know, they were sealed. They weren't the wooden barrels. They were the barrels that had been made out of earthenware. And so to open it up was a big deal. You open up a barrel, and basically you're sacrificing the barrel because the wine is no longer going to be airtight, and it's going to get ruined very quickly. Now, what people would do is they would make a deal with a local store owner when they wanted to open up their own company. And they said, look, you know, I'm going to be opening a barrel. It's like they used to do with meat, you know. Somebody would kill a pig and then, you know, and make a deal to sell it if they couldn't smoke it for themselves and so on. So they make a deal with a chenveni. And they say, whatever's left over, you know, we'll sell you, take 10% and sell it for me. So here he had chaviyotek remuchurot chenveni in advance. The guy walks into his house, he makes a big deal of slicing open the barrels for him. Wow, and it makes such an immoral, I'm so harsher. So there you have to tell him, by the way, you know, I'm not wasting wine, I had it already sold. Loyomalo soch shemen, and you shouldn't tell him, here's some oil, use it. Well, they are. I mean, mi paprikan, he knows the guy isn't going to take it, and there's no oil in the thing. And, but in all of these cases, im bishvil kvodo, if this is being done purely in order to be mechabed him, so that people should see that he's an Adam Chasha, then it's mutter. Is that true? Ani va Ula equal to Rav Yehuda. There was a mice where Ula came to Rav Yehuda and potachlo. No, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Thank you. Potachlo chaviyot amukhorot lachenvani. And he made a big deal of opening up these chaviot. And those chaviot had been sold already and made a deal to sell them to the local grocery. How could he do that? He let him know. Because you don't know that he let him know. He wasn't going to let him know publicly. But he told him before. Well, you know what? It could be didn't. But he buys Ema, Shaina Ula the Chaviv Leila Reb Yehuda. It could well be that Ula was so chashuv to Reb Yehuda that indeed he would have done that. So the fact that it happened to be Mukhurot Lechenveni had no impact on it. If it hadn't been Mukhurot Lechenveni, he would have opened it up just as well. And therefore the act of Kavod that he did for him was precisely what it appeared to be. It happened to be he didn't lose money, that's an accident. But in terms of what he would do for him, this is what I would do for you. And it's correct that you feel that this is what I would do for you, and I don't take anything from you. Turn around, Bonner, and look. Because this was weird. You're saying the question is on the Im Bishvil Kvodo? No, we're not asking on the Im Bishvil Kvodo. We're asking on the entire issue over here. Turn around. Lo yelech adam lebeit ha'avel. A person should not go to be Menachem Avel. Be yodo login hamiskashkech, and he's carrying a big. They used to bring wine and things into the Beis Avel. Like they do today, by the far, and they have all kinds of things. And those people actually would bring it in. And he has over here a large container. And it's sloshing around. It sounds like there's a lot in it, but there's a little tiny bit that's making a big noise. V'lo yemalenu mayim, nor should he fill it up with water to make it look like there's wine in it. V'neishem etayim, because he's fooling him. V'im neishem chaver, if there's a lot of people that are there, and all that he's trying to do is to make people realize that this Avel over here is a very important person, and he's being mechabed him, and then it's mutar. Because there's no, the relationship of what's being done has nothing to do with what you're getting out of it, rather what it is you're giving to the other person. Ten rabban, lo yim kor adam lechaviro sandal shel mita b'chol shachaya shvuta, ripnei shnei dvarim. A person should not sell to someone a sandal that's made out of a basar of a nevela, or of a nevela, and make it look like it's, the regular ore processing that they would take from Kaya Shvut. For two reasons. First of all, the price. He's being mat'ehim over here, that he thinks he's getting the same, even though, I know that it's the same quality, and I know there was nothing wrong with that animal, maybe it was hit by lightning or something. But the bottom line is, this person thinks that he's getting something that he didn't get. The problem is, the truth is, this is a rather complex subject. The problem actually is a combination of issues. You're going to point out up here, which leads all kinds of things. There is, generally speaking, people are willing to spend less on an or of a mesa than on a hide. The reason is that the market is limited, because as we'll see in a moment, where people are worried that if an animal dies without apparent cause, then maybe it's diseased or poisoned, maybe a snake got to it and so on. Nobody wants to expose their skin to that over a long period of time. Who knows what you could pick up from it. But of course that changes the actual value, in which case the issue of here would be more than mita'il in terms of Gneva's das, but it would be also actually Gneva's moma. So some learned that that's the meaning in Mipnei HaSakana. In other words, if there's really Mipnei HaSakana, how could you sell it to him at all? Here it's marked, the only problem is that you can't sell him with the assumption that it's Shvutas. But if there's really a Sakana, you can't sell it to him at all. Obviously, we're talking about that he himself, the seller, knows that there's no Sakana because he knows what happened. He knows that the animal was perfectly healthy. So, okay, but you can see there's a lot of room for discussion over here. Below you, shagir adam lechaver al chavik shel yayin, nor shall a person send to a friend a barrel of wine which has oil on the top of the barrel, which makes it look like it's a barrel of oil. And this is a bigger problem, because he may think that it's, even though obviously ultimately he's going to find out that it's wine, but he may find out that it's wine in a very embarrassing way. And thinking that he's got a barrel of oil, he may well invite 100 guests for a big kiddush and so on, and start spreading around the goodies, and it turns out he doesn't have any goodies. And actually, it was a maisa like this. In Maaseh, be'achad she'shiger l'chaviro chavit shel yayin v'shemen tzaf al piya v'halach v'zimein al ha'orchi. And this guy, man, he makes a big kiddush v'nifmasu matzah she'shel yayin. So they're all coming, and he goes in to start pouring. He finds out it was only an inch of oil. The rest of it is wine. And he hung himself v'chanakat atzmo. And the vein orakim rishayli tamei mashlif name with noble pitosha balabayit elim ken natur should be balabayit. Another thing, that these are all issues that are not nogea gedevas das, but are elements of how to act towards a balabayit, to someone that you want to be mechabed. So it's also prohibited for a guest to give from his own portion to the children of the balabayit unless he asks permission. It was a tough year. There was very little food available. He invites three guests. He had basically three hard-boiled eggs. And that's what he had. And he was giving one egg to each guest. And so his kid comes in, sees a good opportunity, and goes over to one of the guests and asks for an egg. Could he have an egg? So So one of the guests gives it to the kid. So the other guests also figure, okay. So they also the kid's father comes in. He finds he's swallowing one. He's got one in his mouth, and he's got two, one in each hand. So he smacks the kid down. The kid dies. He hit him the wrong way. It happens. Kivan shara ataimo. His mother sees that he murdered the child. She goes up to the roof and commits suicide. And he committed suicide. And anyway, that was the end of that family. Omer Eliezer ben Yaakov al dover zed nergu shalosh nefashot miYisrael. Yeah, we also know how to count. I mean, Mike Kamashkon. No, the cooler of Elazar ben Yaakov. He was saying it like this. We should know that the one who tells over the Maisa is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. You should know it's not just an urban legend. Tan Rabba, Hasholeach Yerek Lechaveiro Shleima, somebody who's sending an entire thigh, if it's whole, Einu Tzarech Shitolim Enagid Anasheh, because he can see that the Enagid Anasheh, either he'll see it was taken or wasn't taken. Chatucha, but if he's sending him pieces of meat, Tzarech Shitolim Enagid Anasheh. If he sends it to a guy, then ben chatucha ben shleima in tzarich litolei mena gidanashe. We're going to discuss more momentarily as what the case was. That got to be the question of what the chashash is. Is it a place where machrizim or not? Umipnei shnei dvarim omru ein bochrin nevelot to treifot lo veit kochavim. There's two reasons why we're not allowed to sell non kosher meat to a guy. Echad v'zeishu mitayu. First of all, because he will assume that it's kosher, and you're fooling him. And secondly, if that's not the case, he may very well go and sell it to another Jew. Again, this seems, how can he sell it? Nobody's going to buy it. V'lo yomar adam loveko chavim kachmi bedina ze basar. Furthermore, a person should never send a goy with money to the butcher shop and say, buy a dollar's worth of meat for me with this money. For two reasons. First of all, this guy may well walk into the store, walk off with the meat, and keep the money for himself. Furthermore, if he walks into the butcher shop, the guy sees a guy, he doesn't know he's buying it for a Jew, maybe he'll sell him the velos or trefus. Now, obviously, we've got some serious problems here in what the case is, because, there seems to be meat available that could be sold to a goy, that wouldn't go to a Jew, and the other case, it's mashma. You could have sold it to a goy, and it wouldn't have been sold to a Jew. Well, what's going on? Now, this is what the Gemara is going to try to figure out. Omar Ma. Let's try to take this from the top here. You say, Bovit Kochavim, Ben Shleima, Ben Chatucha, Ein Tzarif Lishol, Himena Ginan Hashak. You tell me what the case is, but my asking. I mean, in order to be given, that this is a city that only has Gershon. And otherwise, there's nothing to discuss. Who's going to mumble? What's the question about Barnes from McGraw? The city in which is only kosher meat, now the issue is there a minhag here to give out an announcement whenever there is a treifa that has been found, or not? That's the shot. So what kind of case are we talking about? If it's a place in which you're allowed to buy from a goy because there's always an announcement if there would be treifa meat around, so then I didn't understand. So katucha, amaya in otzeres yisol emena giran asher, kima de lo achruz otzila mizvan mina. You're telling me about it, you could send him or sell him cut meat. How could you sell him cut meat? Since there has not been an announcement, so people will buy it from him. And then if you didn't take out the giran asher, they'll be eating giran asher. Elap shita v'makom shein makrizim. So in other words, it's clear. What it's saying is, look, since it's a town where they're not machers, it's a treifa, no one will buy from a goy, and therefore it's okay to a goy. You don't have to take out the get on the fine. Now let's go to the next case and see if that's true. Eima b'tziyata. Mipnei shnei dvarim amru eima ochrin nevelo treifot lo vetro chavim. You then proceed, and you say that there's two reasons why we won't sell nevelo treifos to a goy. First of all, echad b'nei shemitayu, and second, shema yachzorvim keren lo yisrael acher. Maybe he'll sell it to a goy. I thought the whole point of the reisha here was that there's no problem in a goy selling to another Jew, and that's why you're allowed to send him. I see you've gotten spoiled. I'm away only 2 days, and you're already allowing yourself to drift off.
Yeah.
New glasses and all.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would be a solution. Yeah. And such beautiful glasses, too. You know, it would be a shame to have to get them dirty with the pickle juice here in my little revolver. No.
What's wrong with
the
Matayev? I understand.
Because he feels that this Jew is giving him something that he would eat himself. So just as a psychological thing. Yechad, Shema Yechad, and Grandly Yisrael Asher. Now you're saying the other reason is because maybe that's all. No. He's not going to be honest about it. Even welcome Shane reason. You're telling me that the reason that you were allowed to send him cut meat in the first place, or sell him cut meat, is because no Jew is going to buy from him. So now all of a sudden, where's the Jew is going to buy from him? I don't understand. Even welcome Shane reason. Hello, I said, well, Mizbah, no one will buy from him. So now you're telling me, just looking at the middle case here, the middle case got to be talking about in a place where there are Machris. Okay, now let's take a look at the last case. Lo yomar adam la veikah chavim kachli b'dinah zeh basar b'dinah shnei dvarim echad b'dinah hanatim v'echad shemam bochrim lo nevelot v'treifot. What do you mean nevelot v'treifot? How would there be nevelot v'treifot? If you just said it's talking about a town where there are machris. If it's a town where there are machris, if there would have been any nevelot v'treifot for sale, then there would have had to have been an announcement. If there's no announcement, I have to worry about it. So why are you telling me now I have to suddenly worry that this guy's hiding a treifa in his freezer that he's going to sell to the guy when there was no announcement that there's a treifa? You wake up your mind. So what's going on over here? You start off the reisha as a makom shein machrizim. Then you go to the middle case as a makom shein machrizim. Then you come to the sefer as a makom shein machrizim. What kind of crazy price is this? So you're telling me the reisha and the sefer is talking about a makom shein machrizim. The metziyos is talking about the makom shein machrizim. And you're doing this just to drive us out of our minds. Rabbi, that's right. In sometimes we can arrange a case in which the reader is expected to do a little bit of work and sleuth until he figures out what the case is. So figure out by the obvious, I mean, it's not as if we're hiding it. I mean, this thing is so obviously shouts blatant contradictions that the reader is supposed to understand that there's three different situations. And it depends on the situation. What's the problem? Ravashi Amar, I'm sorry, Rava Amar, no. Kulam Amokam Shemakris. And actually, the situation, we don't change situations in terms of the overall context. What we do allow the reader to understand is that the case is different in that in the Reisha V'Seifa there was in fact a Hachrazah. So it's telling you, if you know that nobody's going to buy it from a goy, or if you know they're available to Krampus in town, and they may sell it to the goy. In the last case, where you're asking him to buy for you, then of course take appropriate precautions. All the same. And the mitziata is clearly where there was no hakraza, and therefore there was no kashash, and people would buy it from him. Ravashi says, well, I say on the contrary, I say we don't change things just like that and leave it to the reader. The case is precisely the same. And what happens over here is they're all talking about a mokum she'ein makriz, and therefore you cannot buy from a goy. The reason that the mitziata is a problem and one of the reasons was he was going to sell it to somebody else, is because we always have a chashash, which we saw before. If somebody sees a guy walking into a butcher shop, buying something, and then walking out, he asks for an equivalent cut. There's none of that cut. So he goes running after the guy. He says, listen, I'll pay you premium if you know, I got a party coming up. I see you just bought that. So there he may think that since he just bought it, it doesn't occur to him that he's buying the mills for Trafus in his butcher shop. And so anyway, he may think that it's okay. By the way, when we do that hakulah, I mean, how exactly do we do it? Heki makrizina. Omer b'tzvar Yosef, the language is, nafal b'yisrael l'vnei chela, that there's meat available for the soldiers, meaning for the local, they have to put up soldiers sometimes. I say it in a nice way. Meat available for soldiers sounds very beautiful. Look at that. The Jews are concerned for taking care of the king's troops over here. I understand. Why can't you just say straight out, nafal trefasa l'vnei chela? It's lozav, they're not going to buy. So then you're fooling them. How can you? I mean, I thought you just said it's also to fool them. Why am I fooling them? He knew the kamata nafshayu. They're fooling themselves. Did I ever say anything? They didn't ask whether it's treif, whether it's kosher. So the case that we had before, where we said you're not allowed to do it because he's mita'ehu, and here we have really about locus rashi and places. Rashi learns that the cases before are that you sell it to him, giving him the assumption that it's a shvut. So there, in other words, it's becheska shvut. Same thing with the case of the poteach, the chaviyot, in which he's telling him beferush, I'm opening them for you. Now, that is very problematic because it's clear, as Tosis points out, that Ella in Kein Modio means that Stam is not good enough. Right? Rashi's saying it's Badafka, that let's take that one case. I mean, there's many questions that Tosis has for this year, which I'm sure you have occurred to you. But the most obvious is it's saying over here that Rashi's saying over here the reason the case of Bechaviyot, Bechorot, Chenvani was also before, was because you told the guy, the Pharish, I want to open up a nice wine in your honor. But if you hadn't said that, then there would be no reason to have a hakpot on it, because if he wants to assume that it was all in his honor.
All in his honor?
Right, we were talking about his honor.
His honor, right.
So then why does the Gemara say, Ella in kein modio? You have to let him know. You don't have to let him know. You just don't have to tell him the other way. I mean, Rashi doesn't make sense in the sugya. Yeah. So Tosef says the idea of inu the kamati anapshe is only said where there's no reason to have made any assumption. In other words, a guy walks into your house and you slice open a barrel for him. There's every reason for him to assume that it's being done lechvodo, even if you don't say it. The context screams lechvodcha. On the other hand, if a note is put up, there's meat available for soldiers. Any fine-thinking soldier has got to think, what is the master of the house serving? And is it a horse? Is it a cat? Or God knows what? And then so if he wants to assume that there's meat available for soldiers, it's just a way of saying meat at the butcher shop. So he's an idiot. I mean, that's his problem. And nobody gave him any reason to say it that way. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm pandering to the human tendency of better not, right? Okay, so if he wants better, not us, so I have every right to not tell him. You know, don't ask, don't tell. And it's exactly what's going on over here. Moshe, and this is what it's consistently to the sugya. So in any case where the context seems to be that it's being done for one reason, you have to let him know. If the context doesn't seem to be that, then you don't have to let him know. And we know that this is the halacha, like the case where Marzutra Bered Rav Nachman was actually a little embarrassing. Marzutra Bered Rav Nachman was a big time of Chacham. He was going from the city of Sichra to Bei Mechuza. Now it happened to be that Rava and Rav Safra were going in the opposite direction, and they were traveling from Sichra, and they meet him on the road. And he immediately jumps to the conclusion that they drove all the way out to meet him on the road. So he says, he assumed that they drove out to meet him. So he says, long will the Rabbanan to drove, what's it cool, would you have to come so far just for me? So Rav Safra pipes up and says, we weren't coming for you. Which is very embarrassing. Actually, we didn't know that you were coming back. I mean, if we would have known, we would have baked you a cake. And we would have done even more. I'm like, Rava. So Rava says to himself, what the heck's wrong with you? My time, I'm like, okay, I wish they would die. It's very embarrassing. You don't have to say anything. What do you mean? But then it's going to stop. He said, I think we took all of this deer for him. I thought that's awesome. No, you to come out in Akshay. Did we ever say anything? Well, he can't imagine that maybe people drive on the New Jersey Turnpike for other reasons than meeting in at the Howard Johnson's. I mean, so finally, he wants to make the assumption. I'm not mechuyev to disabuse him of his assumptions. But so this again, this does assess. Well, why should he have made that assumption? So therefore, as a matter of fact, that's really what's embarrassing about it, isn't it? It's like the guy's assuming that you would be coming out for him. So the male, since he was Mati Nafshe, I'm not Mukhuyev to do it, to be mataking him at all. All right. Got some cute stories tomorrow about buying in cities where the meat is salty.
They continue to explain it out that way. It's very obvious.
Well, maybe they didn't. Once he said that, what would you do? Yeah. Okay.
Tomorrow the daf is at the same time, right?
Do you know what is the Seder here?